Waiver Wire is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 or older.
Welcome to season four of Waiver Wired. We made it to season four. We're back this year with Extra Points Podcast Network and also in partnership with Omaha Productions. Very proud to be partnered with such an incredible organization. I am, of course, your host, Jen Piacenti, and joining me today, Eddie Murphy, Eddie Spaghetti, whatever we want to call him. Whenever we call him, he's always there. That's the best thing about Eddie Murphy. He really is. And I text him a lot. So I know. Eddie, it's well into fantasy football season. Like we're like almost late to the party. There's so much we're going to jam pack this episode with today, but I got to catch up a little bit and just be like, hey, how the heck are you?
I know. I hear it. Jen, it's great to see you. We have been texting a lot recently, getting ready for the show. I mean, season four of Waiver Wired. I'm just happy to be a part of it. Happy once again to be back with the great folks at Omaha. And I'm excited for all the new changes here at Extra Points going forward. A lot of great stuff. But most importantly, it's great to be chatting with you once again, getting into football season. We are only a few days away from the TNF kickoff, and it's always great to chat with you. So many big life events happened with us. The last time we were together in person, we were in Phoenix. We were at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Phenomenal week of shows by our crew at the Extra Points, and obviously all the help and the production staff at Omaha. It was awesome stuff there. Great shows, great Super Bowl. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, since then, quite a bit has happened. So it's good to be catching up with you right now.
It is good to be catching up. By the way, we did nail our Star Spangled Banner national anthem prop, as we always do.
The best bet going.
We have to always mention that. We have to drop that mention. One of the most exciting things for this year for the network is that Waiver Wired will be moving to its own feed. So right now you're listening to us on the Money Grab feed. Welcome. It's a great place to be, but we will also be getting our own feed for the. So for those of you who only want to hear fantasy advice, well, let's be real. It won't be just fantasy advice. We're still going to give out bets on this pod because I cannot stay away from it. But if you really want to concentrate on your fantasy football team, you can follow that feed and we will be posting that in the upcoming week.
Sure. So just to help you out there with all, obviously most people by now are aware of the changes in the network. Don't panic. We're on Money Grab feed for this one more week. It'll be the same. You'll see Lemon Pepper Parlay come back too with Martin Weiss and Mark Gunnels. But then like Jen said, by next week, you know, these things take time, transferring feeds. Money Grab feed will stay as Covered in Glory, the phenomenal soccer pod with Toby Mergler and Brett Cormanos. They do a phenomenal job there. And then you have us moving to our original feed, the Waiver Wire feed. So you'll see us there. Subscribe, it'll pop up. Lemon Pepper Parlay getting their own feed as well. And then stay subscribed. You know, if you were subscribing to the Against All Odds feed, that's now become trendy. Extra Points will stay Extra Points as a new win play show that's coming out with Dave and guest hosted every week with Sarah Tiana. And we'll have a bunch of other special guests too popping in that show. And then -3 with me, Dave, and Kevin Hench, all staying the same. We're going to have an NFL pregame pick show. A lot of great stuff, like I said before. It's just very exciting. And just make sure to subscribe to all those feeds. But yes, starting next week, I believe everyone will have their own feeds and just a way easier way to kind of track all the different pods. So it's exciting times over here at EP.
Okay. Enough with the paperwork. Let's get to the fantasy football. It has been a great offseason. I have drafted quite a few fantasy football teams. I also want to say, guys, don't worry. We're getting to the big news that just came out an hour ago. We will talk about Travis Kelce. We will talk about Cooper Kupp. We're going to get there. But first, I just want to start with like a general overview of fantasy, some general overarching themes we've seen and talk about like the trends in fantasy football drafts this year. First of all, I want to say that I posted recently a question on Twitter asking how many fantasy football leagues are you in? And obviously I'm in the industry. I'm playing in 15, which is like way too many. And like, I have to do my fab bidding and all this. It becomes basically a full-time job, but you know, it's okay. I do this for a living, right? I write the Waiver Wire article. It's cool. Some of you degenerates are insane. I feel so normal now. You people out here with 100 teams. What? But here's the best thing, Eddie. Well, first, Eddie, let me ask you, how many fantasy football teams do you have?
I wrote in a rundown. I said, you can make fun of me. I am super lame. I'm only in two leagues this year. I'm going to blame a lot of it on just obviously the craziness of this month with the network changes. My mind was not fully into adding extra fantasy football leagues until then. So I have my one main league that I've been a part of for almost like 15 more years now. And then a great listener to all the podcasts at our network, Daniel, he sets up a league. So I joined his league as well. So I have one league where it's more of a publicly don't know the people. And I have my main league, that's the one I really need to win. All my best friends and my brother, 15 plus years, nice money prize. PPR, your standard stuff there, a lot of trash talking. So I'm definitely heavily invested in that and the other league too as well.
I got to tell you though, that's the way to go. Because when you have like two, three leagues, you can really concentrate. Like you are thinking the trades, everything. You can really focus. Don't be like me. Do not be like Jen. That's all I'm going to say. We're here, by the way, on this podcast to help you, whether you're in an 8-team league or 14-team league. And I understand there's going to be a wide variation. If I say this guy should be on your waiver wire and you're like, oh, not in my league, it's 14 teams. Okay, we'll find you a deeper stash. Okay, we're going to get to all of that for you. All leagues are welcome here. I have to tell you about the funniest response, though, I got, Eddie, to I asked, about how many fantasy leagues are in. And a follower replied to me. His name's Ben. And he said, I'm in four. He's, a 10-team dynasty, a survivor league, a home league. And he's like, and the Fantasy Sheep League, where the top prize is a sheep. A sheep. So I'm like, is he pulling my chain? Like, is he messing with me? So I'm like, are you serious? A sheep? He's like, yes, a sheep. And last year I lost because Tom Brady had a great game. So basically the goat cost him a sheep. So I'm like, so how, what do you mean it's a sheep? So apparently the commish of the league, you can follow him at We Know Fantasy, by the way, because I had to like really dig deep. I like went crazy over this, owns a sheep farm. And whoever wins this league gets to own the sheep for a year. And then the sheep can either be raised for meat, just pass on that, or for more sheep, right? It's a ewe, it's a woman. And he sent a photo of the sheep in like a t-shirt. It is the cutest thing you've ever seen. And I want to challenge all of you to get more creative. Cause I mean, like what I've just been getting trophies and belts and rings. I mean, no, I want a sheep.
You texted me this and I didn't want to text any other questions because I wanted to save it for, I'm like, my head is spinning. I have so many questions about this. I mean, number one, it's like, so the sheep still lives at the farm. Cause I'm going to say,
yeah, right. So the sheep still lives at the farm. So it's like, it's like when you like adopt a tree or adopt
a
star. So the sheep still lives at the farm. So you don't have to do like the actual like milking of the sheep or shearing of the sheep. But I mean, like, I'm wondering, like, if I have the sheep, can I like talk about her hairstyle? Like, I want her long. I want her fluffy.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Do you have like
a cut?
How often do you have the visitation rights? Like you said, when can you give the haircuts?
Team name into her.
That's a great
name. Like Sutton Chops,
That's a good one.
That's courtesy of actually JB Barry, who came up with that, which is pretty funny. But like, everything about it is just adorable. And I challenge all of you to come up with some kind of a creative. I mean, honestly, like how are we not all doing fantasy sheep leagues? Like make friends with a shepherd.
That is something else. I was picturing in my head, like the person that won the league lives in like a high rise apartment and this like 200
like the sheep shows up at the door.
You have to walk it. And then you said, especially if it has, baby sheep and it's almost one of those rewards that it's like, it's funny for the time being. And then after a couple of days, you're like, this actually is way more work.
Adopting a puppy. You think it's a good idea?
Wow. That is that's very clever, very creative. kudos to whoever thought of that.
So, and yes, I challenge all of you to be as creative with your leagues because that really gave me like the best smile I had all day. So good on you guys. You're awesome. Go Fantasy Sheep League. And if you have an extra spot in that league, I feel like quite a few of us might like to participate. So keep us on the list for backups.
Wow.
One overarching trend this year for fantasy football teams has been PPR is taking over, right? There's still some are standard leagues, but most leagues are now PPR. And that has started to now favor wide receivers. This was the first year that I really truly recall being able to get excellent running backs, even in the fifth round. That's right, folks. Even in the fifth round. Now, of course, it depends on how sharp your league is and how up to date everybody is. But those elite PPR receivers are going off the board quickly. First overall pick for most people is Justin Jefferson. Some people still go CMC. I like that pick too, but they're worried about the injury risk. So you've got, you know, Tyreek Hill, you've got CeeDee Lamb. We did have Cooper Kupp. We're going to talk about that more, but mostly the leaning in towards the PPR early. And this is the latest I've seen running backs start to go. And I wonder, like, is this going to stick? Or are we going to start trying to re-even it out? Because originally when we started with the PPR, it's because running backs were overvalued, right? Are we going to kind of like figure out a way more, you know, tight end premiums and running back bonuses for first downs? Or what are we going to do? I don't know. But did you find this in your home league, Eddie?
Without a doubt. I did both of my drafts within the last week or so, 8-9 days. I did a bunch of mock drafts too, just to, like, you know, just publicly trying to get back my feet wet, get back in the groove of things. And not only do receivers go early and often and running backs are lingering around, it's like you almost get in this mindset of like, oh, well, I don't want to be that guy to take the running back, because if I'm missing out on these receivers, then if my running back, you know, plays 10 games, we all know the nature of running backs where they, a lot of them, the top guys get injured or they may not play a full season. Almost every single running back in the league is kind of part of some committee. So you are 100% right that all these receivers are being taken early, and you almost like, in one of my leagues too, and I'll admit, I did take Austin Eckler in the middle of the first round. He was there. I thought it just made the most sense that the super high end receivers were gone. I thought this, you know, Eckler does it all if he's healthy, if he's in the lineup. I took him. But in my home league, when I did have two first round picks, again, my guy Saquon Barkley was there, a bunch of other running backs were there, and I went Devontae Adams and I went Tyreek Hill because I want to get the best receivers in here, because we're now in a passing league. And, you know, one of the big storylines of this offseason that does affect fantasy was the devaluation of running backs from every franchise in the NFL. There's a reason why Dalvin Cook was a free agent for up until the fourth episode of Hard Knocks, and why, you know, Saquon Barkley held up for a bit, why Jonathan Taylor's still on this pup list now. Like, the running backs are just not valued the same way. And that does, you know, seep into the fantasy world, because if the franchises are hourly telling you that they don't value them, then it's like, yeah, you're going to just plug in any kind of fifth round or later guy, any undrafted guy, practice squad guy. It's like, as long as your O-line can block, they will put anyone back there. And it does really scare fantasy managers when you're taking running backs with super high picks, whereas, you know, the receivers will always be there.
Now, the converse is that, of course, if you get, you know, we used to say this about tight end, right? If you get a Travis Kelce or a George Kittle, you have such a positional advantage. Well, maybe this year, if you get a healthy CMC, if you get a Bijan Robinson, if you get a Nick Chubb, who, by the way, I think is being undervalued, massively undervalued, especially if you compare with his player props in Vegas. Remember, there's no more Kareem Hunt. Now, I understand he was not as good. He didn't score as many touchdowns once Deshaun Watson took over. I do think there could be some regression there. I don't foresee another 12 rushing touchdowns. But this guy is a beast, and I think he's going to run all over. And to have a bell cow back like that, that doesn't tend to get injured, could be pretty valuable. And he's often going in the second round. Now, let me ask you this. Was Cooper Kupp already injured when you did your draft?
I did get some inside info from a friend who said Cooper Kupp's probably more injured than they're letting on. So that's one thing I did hear, not going to name any sources. So I did stay away from him. But in terms of the news that we've seen recently, this all came after my draft. So I had one draft end of August. I had one draft only on this Sunday. So that this recent news that we're seeing now definitely was not in the minds of the fantasy managers when I did my drafts.
Okay. So he went in first round.
Yep, unfortunately.
Now, you mentioned you took Austin Eckler.
I did.
What pick was that?
In the draft I did with one of the listeners, Daniel, I believe I took him with the sixth pick. So all of the top, you know, Kelce, and then all receivers went before then.
So
and
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So that's the spot where I would take Cooper Kupp, where people are taking Austin Eckler. I have a few concerns, but I think Eckler's still going to be really good this year. But as far as like busts, I think he might be one. I don't mean like a bust. I mean like maybe not first round. I'm concerned about Kellen Moore. I mean, I don't think he's going to be used the same way he was. I hope that he is, because it's, there are so few running backs you can count on, but even taking Austin Eckler didn't feel as good. I mean, look, he's probably the number four passing option on that team right now.
Maybe he's not.
Maybe he's number three, but I'm just saying, you know, you've got Allen, you've got Williams, you've got Quentin Johnston, you've got Gerald Everett, like, and with the way that Kellen Moore called, but the Dallas running backs weren't thrown to, they weren't targeted. And this is gonna be a very vertical offense. So I don't know. I mean, like, Austin Eckler's thing was touchdowns and catches. I don't know that he's really the kind of tough runner, but in PPR leagues, it's worth a gamble because the dude has been amazing for season after season, and he plays fantasy football, so he knows what he does. He thinks about the people who roster him. That is legit.
I do see Austin every week. I think he does a show with my old pal Matt Harm, right? If I'm not misremembering there. I just felt a guy like Eckler does it all, and especially it just seems like he's kind of on the way out of there anyway. I have been making the joke. I'm not sure which show, but I was like, I could definitely see this is the last year Jim Harbaugh will be coaching Michigan. He'll be the head coach of the Chargers next year because he has Justin Herbert there. So I could see an overhaul, like the one last hurrah. Can they match the Chiefs in their division? I doubt it. And then drafting Quentin Johnston too, I think it's definitely gonna be a vertical passing attack as long as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams do stay healthy. And you know, if the offense is clicking and firing all cylinders, then great. I trust it. But you know, obviously, and he's a running back too. I didn't even mention that had some issues early on in the offseason, didn't want to report, didn't want to play there, wanted to get moved. He said publicly how they're not being valued was part of that running back Zoom call. So that stuff does creep into your mind. But when Eckler's right, he does everything. He does everything, and he does everything well. So I was okay with that and not reaching on a receiver I didn't really want to take there.
So I'm actually just looking at your team here, Eddie. I really like it. I love that you have Rodgers in the 11th round. And you got Watson. Now, I saw that you say Watson's your insurance if Rodgers stinks, which is hilarious to me. You know, Watson's being drafted well ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm actually
not sure I agree with. So
I have the thing. I do think the Browns are going to be great this year. I think they'll finish second in the North, and what I think is probably the toughest division in football. You mentioned Nick Chubb before too, who's not only is he undervalued in fantasy terms, but like people don't bring him up in the conversation of being the best. One of the best running backs
in the NFL. Best pure runner.
I think so. So I really like them. Their defense should be great. Anyway, I do think Deshaun Watson, this is purely on field discussion here, but the guy is still 27 years old. You look back at his Houston Texans stats, he was unbelievable. Top 3 to 5 quarterback in the league, in my opinion. And obviously we saw a little bit of a sample size last year, but I think he will get right at some point in this offense with Stefanski, which we've kind of known through the Baker Mayfield, like, you know, that whole era.
Right.
He couldn't really figure out his it's a complicated offense. It's you have to time your passing windows correctly. I think Watson's capable of doing that clearly, but Baker wasn't. So I do think he'll get right. And now his second year going into that offense. So I do trust him. And I do agree in a sense that, you know, last year with Rodgers, the way it was in Green Bay, he wasn't great. He wasn't his MVP form. But if there's anyone in the league that uses a chip on their shoulder and wants to say F you to someone else, it's Aaron Rodgers. And I think this Jets offense is loaded up that he could have a great year, obviously dependent on their O-line and his age too. At some point he will fall off a cliff. So I kind of took both, and I don't like taking two quarterbacks in a one QB league, but I did think that both of them have major cons potentially, but they both have pretty good pros. So if one of them works out, which I think they will, I'm satisfied.
Rodgers is really my favorite, like super flex second quarterback. Mm-hmm. He, and I actually really like Russ too. We can talk about, I mean, we've got so much to catch up on. I'm not even sure where to start. I like your running backs, Dobbins, Javonte Williams, AJ Dillon, Algier, Chris Evans. You might have a little trouble there, but Dobbins is probably going to just have a bonkers week one. I do think the Houston run defense will be better, but I still think that Dobbins is going to be successful. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Jordan Addison, I like that pick. Mm-hmm. Gabe Davis, Dubs, Mechie, Justin Ross, good wide receivers, and your tight end is Darren Waller, who, as long as he stays healthy, look, the news came out today. We're just going to get to it. Travis Kelce overextended his knee. We don't know what this means. We don't know if maybe it's a little, you know, dramatic and he'll be able to play Thursday. He's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. Or if this could be like something that's really a problem. Could be a couple weeks, could be 4 weeks, could be anything. Travis Kelce was taken in the first round this year.
Yep.
And there is plenty of reason for that. Look, I know he's going to be 34. I know it's the tight end, but he's a unicorn, right? He's Gronk-like. He is phenomenal. He is the number one pass catcher for the number one offense in the NFL, right? And he's the one that has all the experience with Patrick Mahomes. So a lot of people bit the bullet. They're like, I've never done this before, but I'm taking the tight end in the first round, especially in tight end premium leagues. This stings.
It's pretty bad.
Now, hopefully everything's fine. He may still play Thursday, but we had a question. We're going to get to mailbag at the end of the show, but I want to go ahead and address this question now. What do you do if Travis Kelce plays, you still play him because it's the tight end position, okay? Whoever you're streaming is unlikely to give you a lot of points at the tight end position. Basically, you're without Travis Kelce, you're kind of screwed. You lost your first round pick, but so did those of us who took Cooper Kupp probably. So, you know, it's okay. It's a long season. You're just hoping to get someone in there that can do a decent job. I do have three good options for you. So we're going to get to that. But if he doesn't play, you do need to find someone either long-term or to fill in week for week. So here are my picks. If you want someone that might also work long-term, and if it's available, again, this all depends on league depth. I really like Sam Laporta in Detroit. Same game, right? Same game. And you've got Jared Goff versus the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, secondary that should be fairly generous. They should be okay. Again, Goff isn't as good on the road, so we don't have super high expectations. But remember, when TJ Hockenson was in this offense, he averaged about 6 targets per game. Sam Laporta's second round pick out of Iowa, probably second or third, maybe it's Jahmyr Gibbs, right? We know Amon-Ra's going to eat, okay? But they can also double up on Amon-Ra. So that means Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta should be there. Stay tuned, by the way. We're going to have player props for these guys later at the end of the show. We are going to always offer a Thursday night player prop. So a little treat before you end the show. So Sam Laporta is a guy that could be someone that finishes. I know people hate rookie tight ends, but this is a pretty good matchup, pretty good situation if you need someone, okay? He could also be someone you could keep for the season on the bench should Kelce's problems become chronic. Don't think that's going to happen. Just throwing it out there because there still are bye weeks too. Number two is actually Tyler Higbee. And I'm going to roll over there because of another injury, right? The Cooper Kupp injury, which again, we know that Cooper Kupp has been in Minnesota seeing a specialist. This could be something. It could be nothing. He could still play Sunday. There's an outside possibility, but the answer is probably trending towards no, right? So a lot of people are saying Van Jefferson, cool. You want to go deep. You want to go Puka Nacua, cool. But Tyler Higbee is the guy I am liking. I think he has the chance to be the number one target this weekend because Seattle was 27th versus the tight end last year. And they've got some problems in their secondary, right? And we know Matt Stafford is having trouble relating to younger players.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he played with Higbee before. And when he played with Higbee, he was tied for 9th most touchdowns amongst tight ends. And he ended up the tight end 14, which isn't awesome. But look, you're not going to replace Travis Kelce. You're just not. Higbee's somebody you should consider.
I like the Higbee play, like I said before, too. I'm not trying to break mega news here, but I just from my Ram source, I heard the injury is a little bit worse than people realize. So I love the Higbee call. And like you said, well, Kelly Stafford, thank you for outing your husband.
That little hint.
As a guy that does not connect with younger players. And we also read the reports that it looked like the Rams were trying to move on from Stafford at the beginning of this offseason, didn't really find any takers. I mean, shocking that an aging quarterback with a potential neck injury with a big contract, nobody wants to take him on. So, yeah, I think that Higbee's going to see a ton of targets. And I love the Sam Laporta stuff because I remember last year we talked a lot about like how tight ends were really struggling if your name really wasn't Travis Kelce. And obviously, you know, things are looking brighter for Darren Waller this year. He didn't really play much last year. It seemed like a messy situation in Vegas. I think this draft class of tight ends, you know, with Michael Mayer and Raiders, and then obviously
Dalton Kincaid.
Getting Dalton Kincaid from Utah, heading over to Buffalo, and with Laporta,
Luke Vandersloot. I mean,
There's, I think this class of tight Musgrave. Ends. Yeah, I think going forward, we're going to have some pretty good crop of tight ends to choose from. So I'm very excited about that. And I know that rookie tight ends may struggle in this sense, but I think we'll see like some great red zone targets, I think, from a guy like Mayer who can go up and get the ball. Obviously, Kincaid, depending on, you know, I personally thought Mayer was the better college tight end. That's my Notre Dame bias speaking. But I do think Kincaid's a heck of a player, and so is Laporta. Obviously, Iowa just churns out tight ends like crazy. I'm very excited for this whole crop of tight ends going forward.
Last tight end, if you're in a super deep league, is Logan Thomas. Now, of course, you have to be sure he's ready, but reports are he probably will be. And the reason why I like this, this is like clockwork, guys. Arizona, for years now, has been the worst versus the tight end. Like, tight ends go crazy on Arizona. They cannot defend. Not only that, but Terry McLaurin probably missing the first week. Now, I don't know how much preseason football you watched, but the helium's getting pretty high on Sam Howell. I like him too, as someone to stash. Look, Logan Thomas could be very involved here. Again, this is a streaming option. This is the perfect matchup to try out Logan Thomas if he's healthy as well. So that's why he's third on the list, because we're also checking. But it looks like he's going to start. He looks like he's trending in the right direction for week one. And again, no Terry McLaurin. That means Jahan Dotson and Logan Thomas should have some opportunity. But specifically, Logan Thomas is in a really catbird seat with that Arizona defense. So those are my three plays for Travis Kelce. Sorry if you lost Travis Kelce. Wait until the last minute to make the change. If he does play, I would still play him. There is no reason not to play him if he plays.
For sure with that.
He might just get a touchdown. But that's more than you could expect from most tight ends.
I think he's a decoy the whole game, then boom, wide open in the red zone. Yeah, this stinks that, of course, has to be a Thursday night game, not a Sunday game. Right. Also, like, you know, at the time of this recording, when you Google search or search it on Twitter, I've never seen a player with more reports that are so uncertain. It's like some are saying doubtful, some are saying definitely out, some are saying game time decision, some are saying, like, teammates are saying, oh no, he's going to play. People from the Lions, like coaching staff, said they expect him to play. So
they need to expect him to play. They need a plan for him to play. Yeah,
this is going to be a brutal start.
Will he play? Okay, so let's get to the game itself. I know this isn't fantasy technically. The spread moved from 6.5 to 6.
Yeah.
With this news, are you taking the Chiefs to cover, whether it's 6.5 or 6, even without Chris Jones?
I will take them. They can move Chris Jones, Kelce. I mean, it doesn't matter as long as 15's playing. The trend lately with this game, this opening game, the home team usually wins and they win and cover. So I'm with them there. You know, this kind of plays into my player prop I'll give out later. It's a little bit of a tease here, but Jared Goff, not the best. If you look at his home away splits from last year, not the best on the road. It's a huge shift. So I don't really love him in this crazy environment. I know I did read that they were pumping in sound into the Lions, their practices here. So I think the Chiefs should be able to handle them. I'm not quite.
But let me ask you that. Let me tell you these stats and tell me if it changes your mind at all. You can say yeah, you can say no. The Chiefs, though they're awesome and they always win, They don't cover the spread. 42% of the time last year. I think it was even worse the year before. Cover the spread. Okay. The Detroit Lions, on the other hand, second best versus the spread. 72% of the time they cover the spread. Now I'm going to say, I think the bookmakers have gotten wise. I'm with you. I published this morning at SI. I said, I'm still taking the Chiefs. I don't care if there's no Chris Jones. And honestly, that was before the Kelce news. I'm still taking the Chiefs. They're just that much better. Like, Jerry Goff's got all new pass catchers. I am not drinking the Lions Kool-Aid like everybody else. Okay. I didn't even understand, like, why are the Lions getting the opening season game versus the Chiefs? Like, people, we are out of control. But then I look at the game total, 54.5. I think they just wanted an offensive shootout. And I think that's what we're going to get.
Oh, without question. I mean, if you want to get it lead into the over, that's fine. I know last year we did talk about this too, Jen, with like the rust factor and a lot of teams. Now we see this trend lately in the NFL preseason where your starters barely play. I know some teams like don't even use any starters. I know the Rams had that trend going on. I think there will be sort of a rust factor. If there's one team I trust more with less rust, it's going to be obviously the Super Bowl champs. It's going to be the, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid combo. So I still like them to win this game. And, you know, the Lions too. I think, not that this is a NFL, this is a fantasy pod, but I still have the Vikings winning the NFC North. I'm not completely sold on the Lions just yet. Obviously, they'll be in play for a wild card spot. But I still don't want to unseat the Vikings. They won a ton of games last year. And I think, you know, the Jordan Addison pickup is going to be huge for them. So the Lions right now, they're a team that if you show me, if you prove me wrong, I'll buy in. But until they kind of do it, I'm going to stay back and wait.
Going back to fantasy, this does open up the possibility, even for those of you who don't have Travis Kelce, if you're setting your lineups, if you have Sky Moore, if you have Jerick McKinnon, you probably want to put him in your flex spot. Now, not actually your flex spot, because as we've discussed before, you never, ever, ever put a Thursday player in a flex spot ever. Why? Doesn't matter if you think of them like your flex. I know they're the third string running back or the fourth string wide receiver. But you leave yourself no option if you lock up that flex spot and somebody gets injured between now and Sunday. So if you've decided you're going to play Jerick McKinnon, if you've decided you're going to play Sky Moore or MBS, you put them in that wide receiver running back spot. You set it, you forget it, you trust it. Okay. An interesting prop, Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 total touchdowns pays +105. Here's a fact. Since Patrick Mahomes took over starting quarterback duties, first game 2018, he has never thrown fewer than 3 touchdowns in the first game. Never. Just
something
take
else.
It.
He's something else.
It's that's pretty amazing. One. So that's, I love that because of the plus money payout. And I get it. Like you can't just like, you know, make it -120 for somebody to throw touchdowns. Or maybe you can. Maybe you can't. The dude dismantled Philadelphia, hobbled. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I'm buying in, and I watched a little bit of that quarterback Netflix thing, and it just made me buy in more. But I couldn't watch too much because I'm sorry, Kirk Cousins is just a little too dork, and everybody else found him charming. Just the dork factor is just a little too high for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's such a good it's a good. I mean, if you're having on your fantasy squad, you got to be thrilled about this game. Like you said, it should be high scoring, a ton of points you're going to get from number 15 there and the red and white and yellow. So I love that prop. I'm going to switch sides. I'm going to give you a prop on the Lions end, and I kind of hit on this, but so way, way, way back when the NFL draft happened and the Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs early in the first round, people were kind of going like, like, why are they taking a running back? We're entering this era of devaluing running backs, and they take one anyway. And they follow that up by taking an inside linebacker as well. The Lions are pretty much zigging whenever the NFL team is zagging. So he's been a guy that's been on my radar for a number of reasons. And obviously we saw the great things he did at Alabama. So now in the fantasy draft, you know, season here, and you're trying to target him, and he's going pretty early in drafts. And I get why. There's a lot of reports about him now being a downfield passing threat, and like his, you know, his interesting rushing props. But I think the receiving end is where you're going to make your money with him. And especially if you have him in PPR leagues, you're going to love this. So a prop on Jahmyr Gibbs is over 3.5 receptions. And I'm going to go over on this just for a number of reasons. Like I mentioned before, Jared Goff, the split stats, not great. What happens to quarterbacks early on in the season when they have a little bit of rust and they have, you know, they have to score points and they're not used to the pass rush yet because they haven't seen anything besides their own defense in practice. They're going to check it down. So they're going to check it down constantly to Jahmyr Gibbs, who's a running back who'll get open. He'll make himself open. He'll create space. I love him there. You go and track his, you know, his stats when he was with the Crimson Tide. I think like 7 of his 12 games, he had 4 more catches. So that shouldn't be a problem. Like he's used to being this kind of passing attack threat. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge. I would say the one biggest challenge for the Chiefs is to kind of have a guy line up with Gibbs and kind of slow him down. And yes, the Lions do have some pretty good pass catches. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a huge fantasy target to get in drafts, but I really like Gibbs in this game. It's just something simple to get the ball moving down the field. And this is week one. I may feel different about this versus a different defense, but the Chiefs haven't been known to really stop everything. And I think in week one, like you said, Jen, high scoring game, I like Gibbs to have at least 4 catches in this one.
So I'm going to back that play. I have him here for over 27.5 receiving yards. I'm going to give you a couple more stats that are going to further back up and make you want to take these plays. First of all, which we mentioned earlier, maybe no Chris Jones. So anytime you hear that, you know, that just opens things up. But here's a really good piece of juicy nugget. What did I say? Really good piece of juicy nugget. What is that? Like,
it means extra special.
Am I working for a McDonald's now? Advice. Like, here's a really good piece of juicy nugget.
Sponsored by fast food.
Here's my favorite stat to back up these two player props. In 2022, offenses targeted running backs when facing the Chiefs more than any other time in the league. So 152 total targets running backs saw when facing the Chiefs. It's more than any other team. And here's the best part. They allowed an 82.2% catch rate to opposing runners. That was the third highest. So, you know, Montgomery, meh, probably going to be fine. You know, fine. But the Jahmyr Gibbs receiving props are feel like the way to go, especially no Jameson Williams. Remember, he's out for six games. So you got to have this receiving tree going on. I like Laporta. I like Gibbs. Obviously, Amon-Ra is going to be great. But that's where it's going to come in. If we're going to have 55 points, 54 points, they got to come from somewhere, and they won't all come from the Chiefs, right? So those are our player props. Okay, enough props. We got to get back to fantasy. I want to quickly touch on Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp. Then I want to talk on some overarching things really quick. And then we will get to your mailbag. Guys, I'm sorry we're getting all this jammed in, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So don't change the channel. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up, OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Who do we pick up to replace Cooper Kupp? The immediate answer would be someone like Evan Jefferson. That's right there. But someone else that might be available, you could think in the along the lines, depends on how deep your league is. And maybe even this is going to sound disgusting. I am prepared for you to boo, hiss, and moan. Michael Wilson in Arizona. I know we don't know who the quarterback is, and this is a deep league play. He looks like he's going to be the wide receiver too between Hollywood Brown. Rondale Moore was only used in the slot. He was not used. He was only used in three wide receiver sets. I'm not saying you start him. I'm saying he's someone you might want to add if you have to IR Cooper Kupp. I also like DJ Chark. He was connecting really well with Bryce Young and possibly Jonathan Mingo. These are deep, deep league plays. What you're really doing probably is just taking someone from your bench, like a Cortland Sutton type, for instance, or a Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims might be available on your waiver wire too. That's another person. And you're just bumping them up. But if you want to fill out that wide receiver, those are some places to look. As far as Cooper Kupp, I'm sorry if you took him early. I got him in an auction league and I took a discount after I heard the news. I got him for about $10 cheaper than I would have a week ago. And I felt like it was worth the risk. But it's up to everybody. Jonathan Taylor is the next one. Obviously, you're not going to get him for four games, and this sucks because if he was your keeper, if you drafted early, you could never have foreseen this coming. We don't know how serious this injury is. Supposedly it must be, or he wouldn't be on the PUP, but I still feel like it's gamesmanship here. Yeah. I think the Colts are creepy. I think there's something wrong with them. I think that Jim Irsay is like the new Daniel Snyder or something, like some kind of creepy, don't get me started. I hope not to upset Megan. But like the whole thing just seems, ever since Andrew Luck left, it's been suspicious.
I'll just come out and say I don't think he's injured in the least. From what I heard, too, actually from Megan Gailey's great sources, she called this on Megan Fun of Sports weeks ago that she's like, oh, yeah, he's not going to play ever again for the Colts. Like, he's already trying to move houses, whatever. And then we see him, you know, request a trade. They finally let him try to go through the whole trade thing, and then they put him on the pup list. I think it's just really of a way to kind of buy some more time to find a deal. It seems like they're asking a price for Taylor, and I get why. He's a phenomenal running back when healthy, when playing. But some teams like the Dolphins that were, you know, involved, they couldn't find an asking price.
Yeah, the rumor is they wanted Jalen Waddle, which is freaking ridiculous.
It's nuts, but I don't think we'll ever see him play in a Colts uniform again, but I do think playing this season. Yeah.
I hope he'll play this season. I think he will play this season. So I was willing to take the risk. Again, $11 in my salary cap league. I was like, look, it's better than any waiver wire guy I can get. I'm taking it, the deal. So hopefully JT will play. In the meantime, Deion Jackson's probably the number one target. I know they said Evan Hull might split, but let's be real. Deion Jackson's done it before. He had an average of 5 targets per game when he played. So, you know, that's decent. It'll be fine. That's just who you're going to plug in. Then Zach Moss will be ready. It'll probably go like this. Jackson, Moss, Hull, as far as like who takes over throughout the season, and who knows what else happens. Maybe they make a trade where they get a running back, right? I would love to see him in Miami. Speaking of Miami, Jeff Wilson on the IR. So Raheem Mostert should be rostered, but we know he's injury prone too. So Devon Achane should be there. And in deep leagues, Salvon Ahmed, don't forget about him. Don't forget about him. He could be sneaky. People are not talking about Salvon Ahmed, but that's somebody you should consider as well. So remember those guys. If you want to get ahead of it, you have to do something. Another person I really like, again, depending on how deep your league is, if you're losing Jonathan Taylor, try Samaje Perine. He's going to be leading that backfield for the first part before Javonte Williams is totally back, right?
Oh yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
those 4 weeks meet up perfectly, right? That's how I drafted in my auction. I like got JT for 11, then I got Perine for 4. I was like, that's my plan. $15. That's my running back plan.
Yeah, he went pretty high in my home league draft. Plus two, that's another big overarching question is like the Denver Broncos, the whole saga, you know, new coach now, Sean Payton. What will that look like? Where does Russ stand? The receivers have been banged up, feel like constantly. So it's like that offense is an offense that I'm a little skittish on. But I think definitely target Perine in the early weeks.
So couple of things about that Denver offense. I am going to try to buy back in because it doesn't cost anything this year. Courtland Sutton's like free. Marvin Mims is like free. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson's so cheap. He's like QB 18. So for me, I'm willing to do it. Wilson was still the 7th best deep passer according to Next Gen Stats last year. I know it didn't look good, but I think Sean Payton will play more to his strengths, let him move in and out of the pocket. And we shall see. So I am taking some shots on that Denver offense, definitely on Javonte Williams, but we do have to know that he'll probably be eased back in to the offense. Yeah,
it seems like he's going to be on a snap count, and I'm with you. I'm actually buying back into them too. I think in terms of like, you know, obviously most people's drafts have been done already, but like definitely great value on them. But I do think that, you know, for Russ, it really couldn't get worse than it was last year. Obviously, the jury's still kind of out on Nathaniel Hackett. We'll see what he's going to do with the Jets offense this year. But with him not being the head coach, maybe he's just better as an OC. Sean Payton obviously has been there, done that as a head coach, Super Bowl winning coach. So I do think Russ is a little bit, you know, juice left in the tank. I think Javonte Williams, when he gets back and gets healthy, could be one of the better, you know, upper echelon running backs in football. I still like that receiving core if healthy. So there's a lot of stuff to like there. And like you said, the best part is that you're kind of buying low. These people should be available to in your leagues, especially and even if you have to make a trade last minute because of the Cooper Kupp injury or whatever it is, you can get one of these receivers for a little bit less than normal market value.
Haven't done my full write-up yet for my DFS article, but already looking at Denver Broncos stacks versus Las Vegas, which should be affordable for DFS lineups. I also like Commanders versus Arizona because they're cheap. But more on that later. You can check out my articles on SI.com if you want. But listen, we're going to try to make this podcast every week all you need to listen to for the week. Obviously, you'll need to check the news again on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But when you tune in on Tuesday, we want to have the best waiver wire claims for you, the best news for you, the best advice for you, so that you can use your time wisely, more time with your family, more time doing whatever else you want to do, watching the game. So trying to get this really effective for you. And I know, Eddie, you had a few questions that had come up about just general thoughts about the season.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead with those?
I definitely want to ask you stuff. So obviously, like you said, it's big overarching themes. This is our first show back. We're about to get into the NFL season, only two short days away. So I wanted to get into the bigger things, the storylines, but they have obviously a fantasy football, you know, twist on them. So we were talking about Jonathan Taylor before, so I'll just start off with him. He did have 1,004 total yards in 11 games last year. Obviously, he's on the PUP this year, so subtract 4 games at the very least. Do you think he'll surpass that total yardage this year?
Hard to say, but I'm still taking a gamble on him, because if he does play, he's going to get you 20-plus points each time he plays. And so to me, like, if I almost like it, and then this sounds weird, but I like knowing a guy's going to be out, like he's just not able to play, and being able to just make a plan better than, like, I don't know, they might kind of use him in the committee and he might get a few touches and they're going to fade him and blah, 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 blah. Like, I know he's out, I can make a plan. And when he's in, it's the same thing with Christian McCaffrey. When he's in, he's going to be so good for you. So that's why with those two players in particular, I don't mind taking the risk, because when they play, they're going to go bonkers for you. So will he actually get over, you know, 1,100 yards? Maybe he won't play enough games, but on a per game basis, will he do that well? Yes.
All right. And I'll stick, before I get to the quarterbacks, I'm going to go with the receiver question here. So the last full season, and last time we saw Calvin Ridley play 15 games was 2020, and he posted a 90 catch, 1,374 yardage, and 9 touchdowns. Now he's linked up down in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, who a lot of people love, not only the Jaguars, but T-Law going forward. Do you see Calvin Ridley having a season, you know, equally as good as that season, or you think there's gonna be some growing pains down there?
He's going really high right now, like second round in drafts, and I'm starting to shy away because it's getting just a little high for me. I liked him better in the third round because he has been off for a year. That being said, I still do believe he's elite, but Lawrence developed a lot of chemistry last year with Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Engram. There, you've also got ETN, you've got Bigsby, you've got a lot of weapons in this offense. So I think it might be hard for him to have like 1,374. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a lot of yards. I don't think it will be that good. I do think he will be very good. I do believe in the Trevor Lawrence breakout this year. And I have a lot of shares of Trevor Lawrence.
I'm definitely with you on that. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a great year. Actually, my surprise pick to be in the AFC title game versus the Chiefs is the Jaguars. So I think we're all contractually obligated to mention Aaron Rodgers multiple times on every episode, because he is the story of every NFL podcast and every NFL show and whatever. So I have to ask you this.
I'm buying it.
You're already in?
I mean, like, you know, here's the thing, like Hard Knocks, I didn't even have to watch Hard Knocks. I was like, Hard Knocks just confirmed everything I wanted to believe. I'm buying it. Look, why is it any different than when Tom Brady suddenly went to the Bucs? You know, it's the same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they necessarily make it to the Super Bowl, but he's like Zen. He's happy. He's hanging out at Knicks games. He's getting gifts. The guys are loving him. They all adore him. I don't think it's fake either. And like, he played for half of last season with a broken thumb. People are like, oh, he's so old, he's falling off a cliff and he's weird. You know what? Maybe he'll like being somewhere where he can go see a Broadway musical once in a while instead of like eating cheese curds at the, I don't know. I mean, I'm not down on Green Bay. Awesome. I lived in Wisconsin for a while and I love the people there. They're amazing. I'm just saying that I think that this is an environment for Aaron Rodgers to thrive, right? And this is his chance, and I see it. I do. I think I'm buying it. I have him as a second quarterback everywhere. I think Garrett Wilson is going to go bonkers. I think they have a killer running back room. Their defense is going to be amazing. I'm in. I'm sold. You can make fun of me later and bookmark this, but I'm in.
Jen, I feel like me and you were like the lone wolves on this entire network of Aaron Rodgers love, because really? Everyone else is pretty anti. Everyone was so anti Aaron Rodgers. I actually wrote in the rundown a bonus question saying, "Why, right, if you hate him, will he have a better fantasy season than Jordan Love still in Green Bay?" That's
of
how
course
like
he will.
I agree, but I had to put it there because everyone's slamming him and this and that. I thought Hard Knocks did so much to help with boost his ego, and just his general, you know, feel everyone has towards him. And I agree with everything you said. I think the weapons. Finally, a team is putting weapons near him, which Green Bay never did.
This guy's been begging for receivers. They took away Devontae Adams. He still did okay. I mean, like, he's been working with nothing. Okay. And now he's going to get Garrett Wilson. He's got his security blankets as well. And I wouldn't have been past him to make another trade. What if Mike Evans goes there? Okay. Mike Evans probably not staying in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Would that be beautiful?
He would have some big receivers. You have Garrett Wilson, who I think has a real chance to lead the league in catches this year. Yep. And you could tell for just watching that footage. People say, no, don't buy into Hard Knocks. It's like, I'm not buying into Hard Knocks.
Don't buy into it last year, where if you drafted Jamal Williams, you had like the running back that scored more touchdowns than anybody else. You should.
I think connections matter. Chemistry matters. And especially with Aaron Rodgers, like, it's known that if you get on his bad side, he will not even look your way in the field. And obviously Garrett Wilson did enough to really gain it. I mean, Randall Cobb literally did say that to other receivers on the team. So I think in certain situations that does matter. So I'm glad we're on the same team here with A-Rod. I do have him on one of my teams, as we talked about before. So sticking with the quarterbacks here, and I'll rush through the last two. Another big offseason question, and I think, you know, arguably the best division in football, the AFC North. The Ravens, they hired Todd Monken from the national champs, Georgia. I'm sorry to mention it, Jen. I know we were together watching that TCU Georgia game. But now Lamar Jackson says that he has, for the first time, has input in the play calling and play design. Is this going to be another MVP like season from LJax?
I have concerns. I have big concerns. I have zero shares of Lamar Jackson.
Wow, 15 teams, zero shares.
Zero. Wow. Now, I don't discourage anyone else from taking them. This ceiling is incredible for Lamar. It's just not a risk I'm willing to make. Okay, yay. They got him pass catching weapons. One's a rookie, very talented, and I like getting him at a value. One's Odell Beckham Jr., a veteran, kind of getting older. Two bionic knees, okay? And they're going to ask Lamar Jackson to pass more. When has that really been successful? What Lamar Jackson has been good at is the mobility. Okay. And he's kind of an injury risk. So you're taking that on too. And if he can't scramble and move, you know, I get that he's going to feel like he's involved. Great. It might be awesome. I do not feel confident. I still think fantasy wise, it'll add up to points. But as far as the Ravens, oh yeah, the Browns definitely have a pathway to win this division.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is shocking stuff there. And to round it all out with another quarterback question, and I got to ask a question about your boys, America's team here. Dak Prescott, you know, big news in the offseason, him versus Jerry Jones. Will he get the contract? Last year, tied for the league lead with 15 interceptions and did not receive that extension. Do you see Dak Prescott kind of returning to form, aka throwing for over 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards this year?
Not only did he throw 15 interceptions, which is tied for the league lead, he did it in fewer games. Like,
yeah,
Davis Mills 12 games instead of 17. At least Davis Mills took 17 to do it. Mm. I love you, Dak. I do think Dak is going to be good this year, but I am drafting him outside the top 12 because I am not confident. I think it will be better. I think it will be, it was awesome to see him calling plays for Will Greer. That was really impressive. And that gave me a little more confidence in Dak. And I think they are going to let Dak be a little more in control, which I think is a good thing. He's certainly got playmakers. Brandon Cooks was a great add. Adding Stephon Gilmore. I mean, like, there's a lot of great things. CeeDee Lamb's going to be amazing. Michael Gallup's fully healthy. Jake Ferguson has looked good. You know, Pollard, I'm a little concerned about Pollard, but anyway. Will he throw for over 30 touchdowns? And I think he will throw for over 4,000 yards. I'm not sure he'll make it to 30 touchdowns, but you know, I think he'll be good. I think he'll finish as like 12 or 13, QB 12 or 13.
I have to say, I am a pretty pro Dak guy as could be as a Giants fan. And then I'm like, this has been, I think I nailed most of the biggest fantasy related storylines going into the season. And like this one to me has like the most zigzags because it's like,
yeah,
are they buying into him? And then wait, what? They just traded for Trey Lance. Okay.
That's just Jerry Jones like sitting on his yacht being like, ooh, I want to buy that bauble.
And then he like,
oh, I want that pair of shoes.
The awkward responses from Dak about the future going forward. And then you have to have Jerry Jones come back out and say like, well, I fully buy into Dak. He's going to be here for a very long time. It's like, well, then why did you just go and trade for like a 20, whatever year old trail? It's like, it makes you scratch your head, but I'm also with you.
I mean, there's really nothing to lose. Like, right. I mean, he's like, He was out on the market.
Sure, but I mean, Cooper Rush. We remember how good Cooper Rush was.
Cooper Rush is still there.
I know, but I'm saying, like, why do you need another backup of Cooper Rush? I mean, there was points last year where people were like,
because he'll be better than Cooper. He has the potential to be much better than Cooper Rush.
Potential, sure. I'm with you on that.
So they're going to just try. It wasn't that expensive, but I'm with you. It felt disrespectful to Jack that they didn't even tell him.
I know. I mean, geez.
But, Jerry's crazy. Can you imagine, like, they have, like, Dolly World, Dolly Parton World. They should have, like, a Jerry World where we all go around on, like, yachts and, you know, buy football players and do stupid crap like he does and see if it's fun.
Yeah. So anyway, that was our first edition of the overarching off-season questions. I figured I had to end it with America's team there because,
because we're facing off week one here. Who you got? Obviously, you've got the Giants.
I think with the Giants are home, I think it'll be a close game. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think if we're going to, I don't know. I just feel like the Cowboys, if it wasn't for being in a division with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think the Eagles are insanely good, and I think we'll win the Super Bowl this year, which I know goes against all trends. And I think Dallas would be as good as any other team, but they're just stuck in the division with them. I'm a little concerned with how good Dallas's pass catchers are with the Giants kind of youngish defensive back. But, you know, the pass rush should be good. And I just want to see the offense not really rely on solely on Saquon Barkley and Dalen Jones having to have design runs, which I think will be a lot better than. But I think Dallas is a well-oiled machine and their defense takes the ball away. So it is pretty frightening, but hopefully for a good game. Yeah.
The defense is the special part to me. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break. All right, rapid fire. We promised you a mailbag. We're going to get to it. We'll go quick.
Okay. So I apologize for those who asked questions about tight ends. Jen kind of already answered that with, you know, the Kelsey injury one. So I'm going to remove that. So I know Kay Riggs, you had a question, but I'll start off here from Matt. If you're doing the no running back or the zero running back strategy, how late should you take a running back and who do you expect to be available?
I would start grabbing around fifth round, and around fifth round, you can usually still get Cam Akers, James Conner, maybe even Khalil Herbert. So there are good options there. And then you continue with like Samaje Perine, Kenneth Gainwell. There's a lot as you get deeper and deeper. So yes, you can do it. And you can just load up on those elite pass catchers and an elite quarterback if you want. Although now, you know, Kelsey and Kupp shortening that up a little bit. So might not be quite as much.
Okay. Jonathan is asking a flex spot question between Javonte Williams, George Pickens, or Zay Flowers.
I would go George Pickens this week based on the matchup.
Right. And then moving on to Timothy Miller, another question with Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams or Cam Akers?
I would go Cam Akers this week. The matchup's really good with Seattle. And again, Stafford's down pass catcher, so he should be active in the passing game too. So, and I love Javonte Williams. Do not get me wrong. I love Javonte Williams, and it's an excellent matchup for Javonte Williams as well. It's just I think he's more likely to be eased in because of the injury.
Okay, so I believe this question is coming in from Billy. He asks us Shakir or Shahid, which he means Khalil Shakir or Rashid Shahid. Pick between those two.
Shahid.
All right, moving on here. This question is coming from Calvin asking Gabe Davis or Sky Moore.
Sky Moore, especially if Travis Kelsey's out, that's easy.
Right. Question from at I Did It Adventure, Van Jefferson or Jamal Williams in PPR?
I'm going to go Van Jefferson. Again, we're concerned about this Cooper Kupp injury.
Exactly. Yep. And then from J-Dub, again, I believe you answered this already, but more likely to replace Jonathan Taylor. You said Deion Jackson first, then Zach Moss, then Hull, right?
That's my guess. I mean, not this week. It'll probably be a combo of Hull and Jackson because Moss is probably not going to play. Mm-hmm. But I think over the course of the season, I think it'll kind of be like Jackson blending into Moss, blending into Hull. That's my guess.
Perfect. That's it for the mailbag. Again, thank you everyone to the tweeted us. You can keep tweeting at Extra Points Pod. I'll grab them there. Obviously, tweet at Jen, tweet at myself. We'll round them out in Alaska, you know, answer all your questions at the end of each pod. So week one questions in the books.
All right, Eddie, we did it. I think we got it in just under an hour or two. It was speedy, but I think we got to it. And we are excited to be back, guys. We'll be back every Tuesday. We will have waiver picks for you, hence the name of our pod, the Waiver Wire Pod. We're going to do the same thing, talk about general strategies, whatever is up in the news, and we may talk about a sheep here and there because
why not? Can't get over that. Cannot get over that.
Can't get over it either. All right, you guys, if you still got a few drafts left, go kill them and enjoy the football. We'll be right back.